Welcome in to the Monday edition of Daily Tap. It is January 29th. How are you guys doing today? Happy Monday. Super Bowl week is officially underway. Getting excited for Eagles, Patriots. We'll talk a little more about the Super Bowl later in the podcast, but first, this is a local thing, so we'll do a little Bucks, we'll do a little Brewers, then we'll talk our first Super Bowl headline, and we'll talk kind of how we're going to talk about the Super Bowl all week. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTabWI. If you haven't followed, what are you doing? At least follow one, maybe follow two. If you follow all three, let me know. And I'll see what I can do for you. Maybe there's some Snow Tap t-shirts lying around, some old Sports News on Tap t-shirts. I don't know. Maybe be able to hook that up. Also, subscribe to us, iTunes, Google Play. I'm going to try to get us on Spotify and Art19 this week. That is a goal I've set for myself. So we'll see if I will actually be able to. Okay, let's get it rolling. The Milwaukee Bucks won themselves another basketball game. This is their third straight victory, taking down the Chicago Bulls. 110-96. It was a dominating performance by the Milwaukee Bucks, as you've maybe read in the recap already. The Bucks are looking very good under Joe Prunty, as my guy Eric, the Snow Tap representative for Bucks Twitter, said. They are Prundefeated. I like that, and I feel like we need to do a little bit of a dive on Joe Prunty thus far. It's probably too early to tell if Prunty really is making a difference. The Bucks have played the Suns, the Bulls, and the Nets, three of the worst teams in basketball. The Bulls had been better. The two times the Bucks played them in December, they were kind of on a heater a little bit, and they've fallen off significantly since then. So it's hard to judge right now. Well, I think Philadelphia is a great test for them tonight, because that is at least a playoff team at this point. And we'll see exactly what's up with the Bucks. I mean, Chris Middleton today said to the media basically that they feel relaxed and they feel like they're taking on the mold of their coach. And Joe is more of a pick-you-up kind of guy, and he gives you a lot of confidence. And it definitely shows. I think I should probably preface this early, but I was at the game today. Went down to the United Center with a few of my guys. And we had a lot of fun. First of all, the United Center is a great venue to watch sports. Like, I know people might want to shit on it because it's Chicago, but while Lambeau Field is so much better than Soldier Field, or so what I've been told, United Center absolutely dominates the Bradley Center from a viewing perspective. We sat in the lower level. The seats are very nice. It was very comfortable. You have a good vantage point of the game. They give the full box score. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about the United Center. I mean, the drinks were a little expensive, and you had to pay for Bud Light instead of Miller Light, but, I mean, that's besides the point. Other than that, I mean, the place was great, and I have nothing but high remarks for the United Center, and made it even better with the Bucks kicking ass, and I think they look a lot better. They look, and I know it's teams who are kind of the sisters of the poor of the NBA, but the Bucks seem to be a little more relaxed. This would have been the type of game where the Bucks would kind of just, you know, they would lay down and not look well. And instead, the Bucks were firing on all cylinders. The only guy who really had a rough day was Eric Bledsoe. And Eric Bledsoe, obviously, I think there needs to be some conversations had about his three-point shot, because it seems like he's forcing it from the perimeter a lot more than he should be. I mean, he was 1-for-8 from three today, and he didn't need to do that. The Bucks were very good from three otherwise, and it seems like didn't really make sense, you know. And the Bucks got a lot of bench scoring from Sterling Brown and Jason Terry combined for 24 points off the bench. The Bucks just seem to have a rhythm and flow to them that they didn't have a week ago. And Joe Prunty has clearly made this team into his own. Came really quickly, but the Bucks definitely have a different feel. It's not a Jason Kidd clone. And I think that was the narrative that kind of got developed early on, was like, he's going to be just like Jason Kidd. It is clearly, it's not like Jason Kidd. These guys are not blitzing on defense. They played such good defense in the first half. Like, they had 9 steals in the first half. They were dominant in that first period, and they really, that helped expand their lead, especially when Giannis isn't going. And I think that is the biggest key about this, is like, the Giannis had 5 points in the first half. Now, he finished with 27. He had a great stat line. I mean, I think he finished 27, 8-9, which is a fantastic line for Giannis. But he wasn't going in the first half. Like, he was really struggling, and yet the Bucks still had an 18-point lead. I was going to the bathroom before the halftime rush, and the radio broadcast was on in the bathroom, and they had said, you know, the radio host of the Bulls, I don't know his name, was talking to Bill Wellington, former Bull. Was like, Bill, if I would have told you that the Giannis had 5 points and the Bulls were down 18, what would you say? And he's like, yeah, I wouldn't be able to believe it. So that's how good the Bucks were today. And the Bucks were that good against the Nets, and they are handling business right now. And now you get a Philly team who's coming 3 games in 4 nights. It's going to be a tough matchup this evening. Joel Embiid may play. It's still up in the air on whether you're going to get Embiid or not. I think that really kind of swings the game, if you will, because Embiid's a bad matchup for the Bucks. Now, granted, they did pretty well against him in Philadelphia about 2 weeks ago. But I think that really matters on how this game is going to flow. And this is going to be this should be a really good game from a perspective of there will be a playoff atmosphere in there. The Bucks and Sixers are both 3 games out of 4. Should be all right. Now, I tend to think that the Bucks are a little different. I know that they're playing probably the lightest part of their schedule right now. So they're taking advantage. And that's the important thing. You know, now you have a week right now where you go, okay, you have the Sixers on Monday, a couple days off, and then you go to Minnesota, back-to-back, come home against New York. So those 3 games, you probably want to go 2-1 out of those. You'd love them to beat both the Timberwolves as well as the Sixers. I mean, if you lose to the Knicks, whatever. But the Knicks, I guess you want to beat the Knicks. The Knicks you want to beat, I rephrase that. You want to beat the Knicks, you want to beat the Sixers. If you lose the Timberwolves, fine, whatever. The interesting thing, too, is TMJ4 reported on Sunday that Jabari Parker is expected to return this week. I've planted my flag that he's returning tonight. I think that's happening. If it's not tonight, it's going to be Friday. I think the Bucks do not want to bring him back off the road. I think they want to make it a big deal. So I could see it being tonight, with it being a playoff-like game, very important game. But maybe they wait till the Knicks, where there could be a chance where it's a little more blowout and there's a little more opportunity to get Jabari involved. I'm curious to know how Prunty plans to use Jabari early on, whether it's going to be off the bench and it's just going to be he's going to play 20 minutes, kind of get himself comfortable, sort of be this wing player to give Chris Middleton a little bit of breather, as well as, you know, they go small, maybe Giannis playing the 5 and giving guys like Thon and John Henson a little bit more of a break. But right now, I think it's really been encouraging to see what Prunty's done. And if you really want to take it to the next level, he's done it without a full roster in these 3 games and looked great. He had no Giannis on Monday night. He's had no Brogdon either Friday or Sunday. He probably gets Brogdon today. I would be surprised if Brogdon didn't play against the Sixers. He was warming up and doing jump rope. I think they would just rather have him not re-injure it against Chicago and have him ready for this game, because I do think this holds a weight of importance against Philadelphia. But it's clear that the Bucks are looking strong with Prunty, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see this. I think everybody's encouraged by it. I'd be mildly surprised if it's a big crowd tonight. So we'll see how the Bucks do. Definitely have some reaction on Tuesday's Daily Tap about it and talk there. And it's exciting. I think there's nothing to say, and it's clear that everybody, from the fans to the players, wanted to rid themselves of Jason Kidd. And I explained to an old grandmother, as well as her son, or not her son, her grandson, excuse me, about just kind of what Jason Kidd was and how this team just, they caught the Bulls caught them at a bad time, because they're kind of rolling right now. And it was clear all game long. So let's talk a little bit about the Brewers. On Deck happened on Sunday. It was, from what we read in reports, it was one of the most highly attended On Deck. So people were having trouble getting in and all this other stuff. You'll read a blog later today about Ryan Braun potentially going to first base. But what I thought was interesting was Mark Annanasio not ruling out the fact that the Brewers could add another pitching free agent. Annanasio says there's room in the budget. It seems like the Brewers want to do that. I don't think Annanasio is mincing words here. The question is, which free agent are we talking about? Are we talking about Yu Darvish, who they've apparently made a formal offer to, Jake Arrieta, a former Cub? Are they talking more in the lower level, that lower tier of Alex Cobb and Lance Lynn? But it's clear that the Brewers are not satisfied with their pitching staff, which makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. Number one, I know Jimmy Nelson said also today that he's going to be back in June, and that's great, and it's encouraging to hear, but I don't know if any of us know if Jimmy's going to actually be what he was in 2016. Also, it's good to see that this whole Jimmy Nelson blocking people on Twitter, that I'm not the only one. I might have made mention about this a couple daily taps ago about Jimmy Nelson, but apparently he blocks like everybody on Brewers Twitter. So we have to get to the bottom of why Jimmy Nelson is blocking everybody on Twitter. Is he have a PR? Is it like a Big Ben situation? Do we have a local Big Ben? That would kind of suck if you're not familiar with it. And he doesn't block me, but Ben Roethlisberger blocks like everybody on Twitter. Like that's his thing. He just blocks like the world on Twitter. Like 2/3 of the world is covered by water. The other third is blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. So that is kind of a situation we're getting with Jimmy Nelson and Brewers Twitter. Apparently like everybody's blocked. So maybe that do I feel better now that I'm blocked and I'm part of this fraternity sorority? Absolutely. Do I think Jimmy Nelson's kind of a thin-skinned pussy? Yeah, I do. So, I mean, let's kind of meet in the middle here, Jimbo, and get it together. So, not to derail our conversation, but Nelson, we don't know what Nelson's going to be. We have no idea what kind of pitcher Nelson's going to end up being this season. It could take him a full year to recover. He might not be a top-line pitcher until August. I mean, so that's why it's imperative to get a guy. And the Brewers could say, well, we'll wait and we'll maybe make a trade and see how good we are. But it seems like they are going all in. Like Mark Anastasio also made a mention, like, I know I said 2020 was when we were going to make our push, but the time is now. We're ready to go. And I think David Stearns has told him, like, hey, look, you have a good team. Like, we can win a World Series. We just need the right guys. So getting a guy like Arrieta, I mean, the list, I think any four of those, I can make a case for why they make sense for the Brewers. I don't think Lance Lynn or Alex Cobb's an opening day starter, but I think those guys are going to add to that rotation, add some depth that you need, and that's very important. And I really think that one of those guys is coming through. Now, there could be a complete surprise that we're not even thinking about, we're not even talking about, but it seems like they're zeroing in on those four guys, so we'll keep our eyes out. I don't think the Brewers are dumb by any shape of the imagination, and we'll just sort of see. So other thing to note about the Brewers that we're not talking about today, blog or Daily Tap, well, I guess we're talking about here, but Josh Hader going to come out of the bullpen, so that takes one less person away from the rotation. I think they want to use him like a souped-up Andrew Miller. I didn't want to say Andrew Miller on steroids because you know how people get sensitive about steroids. But I think they want to use him in the way where he's pitching 2 innings, 3 innings, maybe even 4. And I think they just want to use him in a variety of ways. I think we talked about that in Tapping the Keg maybe two episodes ago about how we thought that Hader was going to be used in a variety of ways and not just he's going to come in, going to close the game. I think there is some concern from what people have said about that he only has one pitch, and I think that does bother a few people where it's like, we don't know if he can be a starter at this point. He needs to kind of develop that secondary pitch before we can trot him out for, you know, 5 or 6 innings. And maybe the plan is he starts in the bullpen. We think by June, by when Jimmy Nelson's back, that Hader can be a part of this. And if we have a spot for him, then good. But if not, we're just going to keep him in this bullpen. We're going to keep him working. And this is how it's going to be. So I like the idea. I think that's a good start for that. And I think, once again, everybody's really fired up about the Brewers thus far. All right. So first Super Bowl highlight. So what we're going to do, if you've been a long time SnowTap follower, like snowtap.blogspot.com sort of follower, I did this thing where I would take seven headlines and basically break them out throughout the week of all these different Super Bowl topics. Sometimes they would be more on the light side, sometimes they'd be more on the actual game side. So that's kind of what we're going to do here with Daily Tap, is every day we're going to end the show with a Super Bowl topic. So let's just call it the Snow Tap Super Bowl topic of the day.
The first topic we're discussing here is the Eagles run defense. And I think they're probably one of the biggest reasons why Philadelphia is playing in the Super Bowl is they make teams one-dimensional. And so they turned Atlanta one-dimensional, they turned Minnesota one-dimensional, and they've done it all year. And that's sort of what they've been, their calling card is just really stuffing up the run and not having the abilities. Now, granted, guys like Tevin Coleman
And Jared McKinnon kind of had decent days against them. And so maybe a guy like Deion Lewis, who is a little more shifty, can have a similar game like that. But the Eagles have shown no signs of really having any weakness on that run defense. And the Patriots, while Tom Brady is that dude, they need to have a little bit of a run game for Brady, because Brady at his age is not really going to throw the ball 55 times and win a bunch of football games. I mean, if we look at Tom's game logs, let's get Tom Brady's kind of game logs going here and see what we can find. He's not a type of guy who's going to, at this point, and he's going to probably prove me wrong, but he's not a guy who I think really is going to be throwing the ball a ton. So Tom Brady, actually, funny enough, he threw 53 times against Tennessee, against a team that doesn't do that well against the run, does well against the run, and he was successful at 337. But that was the only time this year where he's thrown the ball more than 50 times. He's not really even thrown the ball more than 45 times. He only threw it once against Carolina. He threw 45, 47 against the Chargers. And yeah, so Tom Brady's not throwing the ball very often. So it's not a surprise that they're going to make him one-dimensional. Now, I think the Eagles are different than the Titans in the fact that they can rush the quarterback. They can beat up Brady, and I do think that that is a factor. And they're going to have to figure out ways to run the football. And Deion Lewis is kind of the only guy at this point. Like Rex Burkhead, maybe he gets healthy because he's had a few weeks off and he becomes a factor back and a guy you can run the ball with a little bit more. But James White's not going to be really carrying the football. It's really going to just depend on Deion Lewis. And, man, I don't know. I don't know with that Eagles run defense. I think not enough people are talking about that. And you know, there's the Nick Foles angle, which I think we're going to talk a little more about tomorrow. But and all the other things that go along with the Eagles. But no one's really talking about that. Kind of with this offense, it's gonna, with the New England offense, it's kind of gonna have to depend on Tom Brady, and that hasn't been the case for the Patriots all season. It's especially down the stretch, it was Deion Lewis and Brady combination. Deion Lewis kind of became that dude, and I don't know if he can really be that guy with how the Eagles do against the run. So be very interesting to see what transpires in that, in whether Belichick and company try to establish a run early on, or if they go away from it early, knowing that how the Eagles run. So we'll just sort of see. Okay, so that is Super Bowl topic number one. Stay tuned for number two. We'll probably have it more be Eagles focused. Talk more about the Eagles. Maybe look at Nick Foles on offense and whether he can do this. Whether if Nick Foles really is the best quarterback that this Patriots defense has faced thus far, and whether they are up for the challenge. Because if you remember, the Patriots defense, not that great. So we'll talk tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about that, as well as the Bucks Philly game, and react to that. And who knows what else will come on a crazy Monday. Maybe a Brewer signing. You never know. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Tappers, once again, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI. If you do like all three pages, send me proof. Show me something. Maybe I can hook you up. Never know. And then also subscribe to us, iTunes, Google Play. We'll try to get some more versions so you guys have all the options. And we shall talk tomorrow. Take care, Tappers. Have a good Monday. Let's have a good one. See you.